This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Ten shopping days till Christmas, everybody. And I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. I think it's Phoenix. I don't know. I'm not sure anymore. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 14th, episode 1318. I'll explain more in a second. It's brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine today. So good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Okay. I made it. Glenn, how long ago did I make it back to the show?
30 seconds.
Like, I literally sat down 30 seconds ago. We had our pre-show meeting. Everything was fine. Excuse me. I got to get center myself. So I just did totally one of those horse girl things. And I really feel like my horses are different. And that's why they need the special attention. But I, as you know, it's pitch dark here. It's not light outside. It's super early. And I just realized that it's pouring down rain outside.
Really?
Pouring down rain.
Aren't you in Phoenix?
I'm in Phoenix.
You sure you just didn't open the irrigation and sprung a leak?
Oh, no, because I could hear it through the door, and I'm like, God, that sounds like rain. It was, like, beautiful yesterday, no threat of rain at all. And I go, it got down to about 42, which means I didn't blanket anybody. 40 is my threshold for starting to blanket, because remember, most of my horses have been born in the desert. Like, they're all desert horses, and they've lived here their entire life. So your New England horses that get blanketed at negative 20 are tougher than my Phoenix horses, but your horses would not do well in the summer. So you got to keep them. The only horse of mine that was not born here is the Duke, and he overheats in the summer. So just perspective. So I'm like, okay, I've got like 20 minutes after the meeting, before the show starts. I got to get everybody in. I got to bring them all in because I know that Joey's out
in
there
the dark.
Shivering. In the dark. Pitch dark. In the rain. So I just sat back down.
You know the rain's going to stop in 2 minutes, right?
It's still going. So I'm justified. You're right. It probably will. But there's no rain in the forecast, so I don't know what happened. But my poor little freezing little lamb chops outside getting wet.
It must be really strange when you don't have rain 363 days a year. And those 2 days you have it. It must be really strange hearing that hit the roof.
It's just weird. Yeah, I was just like, what is that noise? What is that? What is that splashing sound? And by the way, Thor the Mustang was totally fine standing on the pasture.
Of
like,
course.
He didn't care a bit.
Yeah, he
but he thought that I was bringing everybody in for food, so he came in. but I come in and I sit down and I'm like, oh, happy National Day of the Horse is what you were going to talk about. And I feel like every day is
your fill of horses this morning already.
Well, yeah, I feel like every day is my horse's national day.
Well, I'm just bringing it up. It was yesterday. I didn't know it till this morning, actually. But it was something that they passed through Congress. A couple of Republicans and Democrats passed this through Congress in 2004. It was a resolution designed to encourage Americans to be mindful of the contribution of horses to the economy, history, and character of the United States right at a time when we're trying to kick them out of all the cities. So I just threw that in. That wasn't really in the article. But yeah, it's a National Day of the Horse. It says, it just says, whereas without horses, the economy, history, and character of the United States would be profoundly different. And it went on and on and on. But so it's the National Day of the Horse. yesterday.
Well,
so happy belated day. I didn't see the cards at Hallmark store. I looked, but there were none. So they have to catch up on that yet.
Why are you lying? You know you weren't in the Hallmark store yesterday. You must be crazy.
Do they still have Hallmark stores, by the way?
They do. Okay. I think so.
It's been a little while.
Jennifer, I want you to ask a question on Facebook before we come to you. Am I the only one who, when it starts raining, runs and to bring their horses in? Do you guys do that? No. You're in Florida.
It rains every day. No.
You just suck it up.
It rains every day.
Maybe it pours every day. Maybe when it's cold outside, though, and it starts raining, do you bring your horses in? I can't be the only one running out there like
an idiot. What was the temperature?
It's 42.
That's pretty chilly. That is pretty chilly.
Yeah.
That's pretty chilly for your thin-skinned horses.
Exactly. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Jennifer?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following a 5-furlong sprint through the headlines, we will head on over to Lawrence Valley, North Carolina, where you can ride through the rain, where you can ride your horse to the local grocery store, and nobody will look twice. And rounding out our morning workouts, the Wacky World of Horse Nation has Weird Science Equine Edition. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
My hair is so wet.
Such a whiner. My daily whinny goes out to one of our great listeners, Nikki Lambert. And I'm giving her a daily whinny because after a lot of hard work, she is now has her Master's of Social Work degree. And she went out and celebrated over the weekend, I saw on Facebook. So, and I saw one of our other listeners posted underneath, if I could give daily whinnies, I'd give you mine. Well, that's for both of us right there. You get two daily whinnies in one. And I also want to add to it one of our listeners that we didn't know about, but now we do, in Korea, posted a video on our page. His name is Ji Yi. He's a horseman who lives in Korea. And he posted this video that he shot with his drone of him riding his horse. So, and it's to music. It's pretty cool. So check it out. Just go to our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, and scroll down and you'll see the video by one of our Korean listeners. And I knew we had a lot in Korea because I see the numbers, but it's good to finally hear from one of them.
Wait, hold on. I actually know some Korean. Hold on.
Yeah, no.
Because Chad always answers the phone when all his buddies that were stationed in Korea all stay together. They answer the phone. Kamsamida. There we go. I pulled it out of nowhere.
I don't want to know what that. If Chad was talking to his buddies and saying that, I don't want to know what it means.
Kamsamida. Kamsamida. There you go. I think that's a greeting.
Well, we hope.
I hope so.
And if it's worse than that, we apologize to all our Korean listeners. We do not know what we're talking about.
Just threw the F-bomb out to all Koreans.
Exactly.
Sorry. Oh, my turn. My daily whinny has got to go out to none other than AP baby. American Pharoah has won the online readers poll. So they haven't announced the actual winner yet. For Sports Illustrated's 2015 Sportsman of the Year, topping 11 other candidates across all major sports as the one who embodied the spirit of sportsmanship and achievement this year. So congratulations to American Pharoah. I hope he gets the cover.
That whip was because you're wrong. They have announced the winner this morning on the Today Show, just about 50 minutes ago.
We're 2 hours behind you, so we're back in time.
Well, in 2 hours, you'll find out that do you really want to know? American Pharoah won this poll like 47%, right?
So American Pharoah had 47% of the vote. The Kansas City Royals.
Thanks to our help, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah. Kansas City Royals came in second place with 29%. So, like, it was really close.
And then everybody else was, like, at 4 and 3 and 2 and 1, right? I mean, it was way down.
Lionel Messi came in with 6%. Stephen Curry, 4%. Jordan Spieth, 3%. Simone Biles, 2%. And everybody else was even lower.
So you didn't mention Serena Williams, who was also in that, right? Wasn't she? She was
pretty low. Barely got like four. I think four people voted for her. I don't even think her sister voted for her.
Well, guess what?
No way. Do not.
Sports Illustrated announced this morning that Serena Williams was Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year.
Okay, Mr. Hallmark shopper, go by front saying you're sorry for lying to me right now.
No, I am not sorry, and it is true. I'm on Reuters right now. Serena Williams, who held all four tennis Grand Slam titles for the second time in her career. They're saying now that she's probably one of the best tennis players that ever lived, is the reason all that she won the Sportsman of the Year.
Oh my God, they've already shot the cover. They did this a long time ago. I just went on to sportsillustrated.com, which is SI.com, and there she is sitting on a throne wearing some Beyonce outfit. Is that Beyonce? No, it's Serena Williams. And so they already shot the cover, so they didn't give a crap what the votes
were. No, they really don't, obviously, because I think Serena got like 1%.
Oh, my God. Do they look stupid right now?
Here is Sportsman of the Year. Let me set this up for you, right? She's Sportsman of the Year, and she did, you know, she held four Grand Slams. She's the best tennis player probably that ever lived, they're saying.
Yeah, but you know what? She'll be playing next year. Okay, American Pharoah will not be running next year.
Okay, all right. I'm not arguing with you here. I just want to point out
something. It's all your fault, Glenn. It's all your fault. I'm not yelling.
I mean, I like tennis and I like Serena, but she was just named Sportsman of the Year, Sports Person of the Year, right? Sports Person of the Year. Let me tell you what happened over the weekend, Sports Person of the Year. She has a foundation that raises money for charity, right? Well, yeah. In South Beach, she has the Serena Williams Live Ultimate Run South Beach in 2015. It's a 5K run to benefit and to raise money for the Serena Williams Fund, which is her foundation for charity. So Serena shows up. Now, 5K is five. It's not even 5 miles, right? Or is it a little over five? I forget which it is. But it's 5K. It's like 5 miles. Well, she shows up for her 5 mile run. Sports Person of the Year now, for her own charity, at the 2 mile mark, skipped off to the side, took a taxi to the finish, and finished running the race after skipping 3 miles of it.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Was she trying to be sneaky?
I don't know. That's the article was in the Daily Mail, and we and Jamie and I swear by the Daily Mail. We believe everything we read in the Daily Mail. So there you go. 3,000 other runners finished 5K, but apparently the number one tennis player and the Sports Person of the Year could not.
I am so mad right now. I hope all of you sitting at your house.
By the way, Venus did the whole thing. But, you know, maybe she wasn't feeling well. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Whatever.
Well,
but
if you look at this cover on Sports Illustrated, it must be hard for Serena to run 5 miles in a leotard and stiletto heels.
Is that the cover? I didn't see the cover yet.
Go to SI.com. Okay. It's right there on the front. Oh, my God. She literally, you know that Beyonce video? The single. And everybody's made fun of it. That's what she's wearing.
Okay, that's not an appropriate cover for somebody who's supposed to be sports. She's in lingerie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have her in a tennis outfit, like winning a Grand Slam?
Like fist pumping or
yes,
something?
Yes. Yeah. That's just sexist, if you ask me. I'm just saying.
I am so mad right now. I need a break. Like,
that's something coming from Glenn.
That is sexist. She's the greatest tennis player ever lived, and they have her in lingerie on a throne. I wish I would have had the throne when I was king. That's a nice throne. But
do they have any audio of this?
I couldn't find any yet. It'll be up shortly, I'm sure, but it just happened.
Oh, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. And then for her to, like, show her hoochie mamas. Like, I'm sure she's a nice person. Actually, I've heard she's not a very nice person. But it's not her fault that Sports Illustrated.
Well, I can
are
tell
idiots.
You that there's several million people or horse people in the United States that now do not like Serena Williams, and it's not her fault she was picked. Probably,
that's true.
I don't think she.
I gotta
paid
let
anybody,
it go. But. Yeah, let it go. But I think you could do a classier cover.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great shots of her holding up like trophies from her Grand Slams, winning Wimbledon and all that stuff. U.S. Open, maybe? something.
What would American Pharaoh look like in lingerie and high heels?
Sitting on a throne.
Like, now, do you think anybody ever voted for
putting a quarterback in tighty whities? And I'm offended.
Yeah, the whole thing's really kind of offended. Offensive. And I I'm a guy, and I think it's offensive. It's
bad boy, Serena.
Yeah, what is the guy's magazine? Maxim or whatever. Yeah. If this was in Maxim, that's the picture. Actually, to give people a visual, it's the picture you would see in Maxim on the cover. Not sports.
Yeah, this is super offensive. You're right, because she's supposed to be sports person of the year, and they would not put the Kansas City Royals in their underwear on the cover.
Exactly. I don't know if this was her request or, their request. I don't know. But the fact that she agreed to do it's kind of offensive, too. I would have said no.
I've been like, celebrate my athletic achievements, yeah. Sports Illustrated, yeah. Not the fact that you can see my legs. But you know what? Maybe she wanted to show off her legs because, she's got big, giant, great legs. I mean, they're muscular and whatever. You like that kind of thing.
I can tell it's going to be a tough day here in the show.
Large inner thigh muscles is what I prefer.
But you know what? American Pharoah's large inner thigh muscles, too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I
would prefer. Four of them, not just two.
I'm so mad right now. Do you play a song? Let me cool. I don't know. I'm going to go back out in the rain.
All right. Well, let's change gears a little bit and tell you a happy story. So, and Jennifer's going to chipe in on this one because she's the one that did it.
Okay. I'm soaking wet and I'm wearing a sweatshirt. And I have to take my sweatshirt off. I'm hot. So, okay. Just talk all amongst right. yourselves.
So, Scooter, when you own a Hackney pony, there are challenges. One of the challenges is they're so smart and they're so naughty and they have huge personalities. Put all of those together, you got yourself a pony for sure. And so every once in a while, he changes his mode of things he's afraid of. He's always been afraid of little tiny steps off of things, changes in surfaces. So if we go from grass to a driveway, a cement driveway or macadam, if there's a little tiny drop of an inch, that scares him to death. And he's always had that problem. And he loaded in the trailer a couple times we took him places just fine. But then the last time, he decided he wasn't loading in a trailer ever again. So, coming home from the horse park the last time took us a little while, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes to get him loaded. And so Jamie said, Jennifer, you just got to go on to Monty Roberts University and watch the trailer loading video. And that's what she did. So let's hear from Jennifer, because as all good horse husbands, you men will be proud. This was Saturday afternoon. I had already taken a huge load of stuff from the farm to the dump. I was tired. I took a nap. That's what we do when our wives are training our horses for us.
Oh, so, my God, you're a pig.
So go ahead, Jennifer.
No, I appreciate that.
No, she didn't want me around.
Because then he doesn't pepper me with questions. Well, why are you doing this? Well, what about that? Well, what? Oh my gosh, just go take a nap.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know how it is when, is Lucas old enough to do that thing where he asks why a million times and you tell him why and then he says why?
No, not yet, but I'm familiar with it, yeah. With the husband.
Yeah, that's what Glenn does when he watches me training the horse to do anything. So I was thrilled that he went and took a nap. So I went on to Monty Roberts Online University, and I clicked on trailer loading. So I watched, I think it was three or four trailer loading videos, and I agree. He mentioned a patron who was watching one of his demonstrations, and they said, Monty Roberts, you're cheating. You're cheating by teaching that horse to go over a wide variety of surfaces before you get him on the trailer. By the time you actually get to the trailer, he's already trained. And I agree. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, isn't that the point?
Isn't that the point? I'm going, dang, why didn't I think of this 20 years ago? Awesome. And so I very carefully watched each one twice so I could try to remember it all. And I put his little dually halter on his little tiny head. And it's not hard to find lots of things that Scooter doesn't like to step on around here because, as Glenn said, he has a problem with shiny surfaces and surfaces that go clink, clink under his feet and surfaces that change texture. So we found half a dozen or so of those, and we spent about an hour practicing stepping up on them and backing off and stepping on and backing off, and stepping on and backing off, and learning how to come forward from the pressure on the dually halter. And he kind of got that and then went over to the trailer. Within 15 minutes, he just hopped into the trailer, turned around, hopped back off, and we hopped on and off the trailer four times. And when I say hopped on and off, I really mean it, because the horse trailer comes up to Scooter's knee, so he literally has to jump in and out. Yeah, gold stars and sparkles for Scooter.
Isn't that wonderful? The trailer loading that he has, you know, I had never seen it or anything until I was introduced to his stuff. I think it was last March or April. And seeing the trailer loading, it's like, it's so easy and it's so non-confrontational. Like, we've all seen the trainers who stand outside of the trailer and lunge the hell out of the horse and get him to where basically another guy that I've seen and followed before, you know, you lunge him and so that they want to jump in the trailer because it's the one place they get to stand still. Monty's like, the way that he does it, the horse is within, 10 minutes are like jumping in the trailer with you standing outside, standing inside, whatever. It's such a nice, like, methodical way to do it. I will tell you that I did try to load Norman on Friday. And, you know, I did all the...
Is Norman still out in the backyard?
So I told the girl... She brought him to me and she said he loads no problem. So I spent about 5 minutes doing some leading and then I walked him over to the trailer and he walked right into the trailer and started eating from the manger. And I realized his back legs were still on the outside.
Because he's so tall, so long.
He's so big. He didn't fit in my 2-horse straight load.
You said he has a problem.
Yeah. And he stepped up like with his hind legs and stepping out. But he was like, I can't fit in here. Like, I've never put a 17 two-hand horse in my little 2-horse straight load. So I ended up calling the girl because at this point I'm like, you will do it. And then he's like, no, I can't. I just can't. And he never got mad and I never got mad, but I was like, this is ridiculous. So I have my big, the one that I go to horse shows in, but it's not been checked. You know, you have to check the tires, you have to do all that pre-stuff, and it wasn't ready. It's still covered. So I called her and I'm like, hey, I can't get him in my trailer. It's too small. She comes, drives over, he walks right on her trailer. Cause it's like the super tall, extra wide, very roomy kind of trailer. And he walks right in.
He does have standards. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We used to have the same problem with the Percherons. They they had to duck to get to stay in that trailer.
I knew I was in trouble when I'm like, I lead him up and he just walks right in and I'm giving him unwrapping the peppermint and hand it to him like, son of a gun. You're still still outside this trailer. I'm like, we're screwed.
We used to put the Percheron on one side, the pony on the other. And you should have seen that trailer going down the road. It was like at a 45 degree angle. I mean,
you lost your right tires yes. all the time. That's funny. Well, I'm glad it worked out for you, Jen. So you feel like you've accomplished it. I mean, you still have to practice a couple times, but it's fun doing it, isn't it? Because it's so non-threatening and it's so non.
She didn't realize now it did take her probably an hour and a half because I was napping for about an hour and a half and she came running in the house and said I had to come out. And Jennifer, by the way, that video is on your phone if you want to post it. So I went out and did a video of the pony getting in the trailer. Now, and then last night, the next day, we did, in order to eat his food, he had to get in and out of the trailer. So she'd bring him in and he had to get in the trailer. She'd take him out and she'd let him eat a little of his grain. And then she'd had to take him back in and out. So he went in and out about four times while eating his dinner. So,
wow.
But he still leaps out like it's, 10 feet off the ground. So funny seeing him leap, but that's the way he's always been. He's always been about that. Now she's gotten to the point though where like he can walk onto our driveway and beside the house was always terrifying because there's probably an inch gap lip, and he can walk on that now and walk off of it without taking a flying leap. Because I got to tell you, when a horse takes a flying leap and you're in the cart and they're hooked up, that's not comfortable. So it's much better if they don't take a flying leap when you're in the cart.
Yeah, don't you hate it when you like you? We've all had that horse where you're like, he won't cross this tiny little creek or this tiny little puddle. I'm going to get off and I'm going to lead him across it. And like all of a sudden you find yourself at one end of the lead rope and the horse is on the other side of the puddle and you're like, oh God, he's about to leap. Like right on me. So I know what you mean.
Or in Scooter's case, he's about to roll.
Oh, there you go. That one too. So yeah, we've all been at the end of that lead rope. Oh, please don't jump. Please don't jump. Please don't jump. It's not a good thing.
So thank you to my wife for doing all of that work while I was sleeping. It was much appreciated.
Well, maybe it's going to transfer into his, you know, behaviors when he's being driven.
Well, that is the thing. And the other thing, you know, because of the method that Monty uses where you get their front feet on whatever object he's having trouble crossing, whether it's, you know, whatever surface it is, and then you back them up, and then you get the front feet on, and you back them up. And you do that even when you're getting them on the trailers. You get the front feet on, you back them off. You get the front feet on, you back them off. By doing that, he never was very good at backing up, and I think his backing up is going to be better now because every time she did that, she kept saying back, back, back. So I think that that's going to translate to the cart for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Very cool.
So a couple things learned.
Now, remember when we had Monty on when I was at Flag Is Up, and he was sitting right next to me, probably my coolest episode ever in my mind. So we have Monty on and we're sitting next to him and we're doing the listeners got to ask questions and you got to ask one too, because he's afraid of rustling leaves.
Yeah.
And Monty's first thing to you was like, well, bet his stall in rustling leaves. Have you done that yet?
Well, he hasn't been in the barn since. So...
Well, you're going to have to do it. Suck it up. Rake up some leaves, Glenn.
Well, we finally do have dry. See, the problem in the winter is the wet leaves don't help much. But now that we're getting into dry season, I actually have some leaves that would rustle now.
Okay.
And, you know, it is the thundering hoofbeats behind him. And, you know, if he hears horses running up, and I think any horse is that way, but he just, you know, he reacts differently. I did have it happen the other day. I was driving him just in our paddock or in the field in front of the barn. And we have neighboring horses that are in the field right behind, and they got running. So I turned him into it before he got caught off guard. I turned him into it so he could see the horses running. He got a little high, but he didn't bolt this time. So
good.
So that was something, you know, if he can see it, he's fine. If he, you know, and that's the reason we don't use full blinkers on him. We use half blinkers, is he can turn his head and see all the way behind him. He can see me in the cart if he wants to. And that's worked out much better than full blinkers for him.
Yeah, it's so confusing. I wouldn't know what to tell you, because when a horse bolts when you're riding it, you want to put it on a circle.
Yeah, and that's hard to do in a cart.
Hard to do when you're in a cart.
Yeah, you really don't want them making tight turns. That's when they tip over. That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so so they, you know, it's what David Saunders, when I asked him, he said, oh, you turn them towards something really solid that they're not going to want to hit, and then pray. That was his answer. He said one of two things is going to happen. They're going to stop, or three things. They're going to stop, they're going to run into the wall, or they're going to make a sharp turn and throw you off the carriage. One of those three things is going to happen, but you have a 1 in 3 chance of the good one. So it's like, that was
good luck.
Confidence building, huh?
Good luck to you.
Doesn't that make everybody want to go out and drive a cart?
No, not at all.
All right, let's talk about our title sponsor, Omega Alpha Equine. You had a question, or not you had a question, they had a question in our auditor's room. And the question was, can anyone here recommend a natural product for calming a horse whose brain is too busy? And she says she's looked at a number of products and she was looking for recommendations. And you chimed in right away. I don't know if this person doesn't listen to Horses in the Morning. Maybe she listens to one of the other shows. But so tell her on the air what you told her on Facebook.
Well, they have Omega Alpha has two. They have one product called Chill and one called Chill Ultra. And I've used Chill, and I think it's more that just the regular Chill. You draw it in a syringe out of like a gallon type jug or a liter or whatever Canadians use for measurements of volume. And you draw it out and you give it to the horse and orally 30 to 60 cc's an hour prior to the event.
And this is before they're all hepped up, though.
Yeah, before they're all hyped up. And that one kind of just even kind of makes it an even keel. I really liked the chill ultra paced for a couple reasons. First of all, it's super convenient. Yeah, you may pay probably a little extra for the syringe part of it, but it's so much easier. So in its concentrated chill formula, it has added vitamin B1 and magnesium. It's calming with focus while aiding in muscle relaxation without drowsiness. Performance and athletic ability are unaffected, helps pre-performance jitters and trailering. It's beneficial for post-surgery calming. It even helps when you're weaning foals. So I like that one. You can buy them in singles or a 12-pack. And again, it just really, really helps. The chill does the same thing, but in my opinion, between the two of them, I really saw more immediate results with the Chill Ultra. It was when I was getting a horse to a show and the show was 30 minutes away. And so I gave it to him, put him on the trailer, and he unloaded. That was Thor's first event. And he just unloaded like, okay, I got it. And this horse had never been on the trailer at any sort of horse show, never been to a show, never been to a dressage arena, never been anything. And if you recall, he won everything. So clearly it was majorly my training, but also Omega Alpha Chill. So I do really like the Chill Ultra. I think for more of a longer term, like say you're going to a horse show that's 3 or 4 days, definitely get the Chill and just give it to them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you'd have to ask the people at Omega Alpha, but if you're going to kind of give it more over a series of days, I'd probably go with the Chill. It's probably more cost effective and it's not quite as concentrated for like a big punch.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. The other thing that's so cool about it is she was asking for a natural product and they are all natural products.
Yeah,
so
they don't test. They're non-testable because they're herbal. And that's the other thing is you're not pumping your horse full of drugs. You're pumping them full of minerals and vitamins. So, and it works. So OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, now our first guest of the day is, you know how we love to talk about communities that are very horse related? You know, we spent a week, we were invited to go out to California, to Norco, Horsetown, USA. We were doing our shows there for an entire week. We love, it was fun. And we love communities that are horse related. We've highlighted some of them on the show here. Well, there's one that Jennifer came across in just north of Statesville, North Carolina. It's called Love Valley. And I have a little video here to kind of play as an introduction. This was done by roadtrippers.com. It's a little video they put together, but it will give you an idea about the town, and then we'll get to Tori.
Live like a cowboy, saddling up and riding into town on your trusty steed, hitching your horse to the general store and moseying into the saloon for a stiff drink. Well, partner, there's hope for you yet. Because in Love Valley, North Carolina, the Old West lives on. Love Valley, a small town in rural North Carolina, was founded in 1954 by Andy Barker, a man who longed for the days of six shooters and the Pony Express. Barker always wanted to be a cowboy and decided that the easiest way to fulfill his dream was to create his very own authentic Old West town, where the roads are made of dirt and cars are outlawed. Today, Love Valley is about as close as you can come to an Old West community, boasting a saloon, a general store, hitching posts, campgrounds, a hotel, a hardware store, and even rodeos. The town hosts regular horseback riding adventures on its miles of riding trails throughout the surrounding mountains, has rodeos at the local arena, and it even acts as the set of a horror film now and then. So if you're looking to experience a little bit of the Old West, you don't have to go way out to New Mexico. You can always go to North Carolina. Just don't forget your spurs. For more of the world's craziest themed towns, subscribe to Road Trippers Insider and visit roadtrippers.com.
Well, there you go. There's the introduction to Love Valley, and we have Tori Barker on with us. Hi, Tori.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I think that video did set the scene quite well. What a neat town.
Yeah, it is very neat. It's definitely somewhere different than the norm.
That's for sure. Now, how many people, do people actually live in the town, or is it all just businesses?
We do have residents of our town. There are about 100 to 150 people that live here full time. And then we have another probably 300 to 400 people that have weekend and vacation homes here.
Does every also, one of those people have horses? Everybody lives there and vacations there?
For the most part, we have more horses here than we have people, yes. most everybody who loves lives here loves the horse life and that lifestyle, and most do ride.
That's so cool. And I noticed your last name is Barker. Are you related to the Barker that founded the town?
I am. I am. I'm his youngest granddaughter. I moved to Love Valley about 10 years ago, and my brother also lives here as well. So we have my aunt lives here, and my mother also lives here. So we have quite a bit of family here.
Now, your grandfather died at the age of 87, and he was the founder and mayor of Love Valley. And this was back, what, in the 1940s and 50s, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, he started Love Valley in 1954. He had the idea from a young child, and he was owned a construction business in Charlotte. And I guess, you know, the thought was always in the back of his head, and as he was traveling with work, he was always looking for land to start his town. And in 1954, he was working in Statesville at a Belk's and Eford store, and went up north to find a sawmill. And when he was there, he fell in love immediately with the area and asked the owner of the sawmill if he knew of any property for sale. He then kindly took my grandfather to a farmer in the area, and that was kind of how it all started. I guess he spoke for the land that day and came back a short time later and purchased it, and went home and told my grandmother to start packing up her stuff, that they were selling their farm in Charlotte and their house and the luxuries of life, and they were going to start their town.
And she divorced him the next year?
My grandmother's a very loyal woman. I can promise you that. Yeah, I mean, they went from a 2,000 square foot house with all the modern luxuries of the time to a one room shack with no indoor plumbing. So, and she had two young children at the time. So you can imagine it was quite the shock.
Okay, so Jamie, that would be like Chad saying, I'm quitting the Air Force and we're going to move to the middle of the desert and we're going to live in a camper with no amenities and we're going to take our child along.
Bye. See ya. Write me a letter.
Yeah. Well,
let me know how you're doing.
In his defense, I will say this. He did tell her before they got married that he was going to live in a Western town. And she, I think, like many of the other people he had profoundly proclaimed this to, they didn't believe him. So, but he did tell her ahead of time.
So he just decided one of them were, he's not going out west. He's just going to make him one in North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I think he loved North Carolina and wanted to be here. He had grown up here. As I said, they lived in the Steel Creek community in Charlotte, so he was familiar with the area.
Oh, you can just picture him, too. I was just thinking, you could just picture him. He was probably an unbelievable storyteller. You could sit down for 2 hours and just listen to his stories. I could just picture
him. I can promise you that's for sure. he had incredible stories, that's for sure.
I bet.
You know, and both my grandparents served in the war. My grandfather was in the Army, and my grandmother was in the Navy, and they didn't get married until they came home, or both came home. So, you know, my grandfather was only 28 years old when he sold his family business and started Love Valley. So he was quite a young guy, and, you know, although he had years of experience in construction because he started working when he was very young, and my great-grandfather started the construction business, it was quite a shock to everybody around.
Well, I got to tell you, if you want a picture of the town, just picture any town you see in an old Western. And that's what this town looks like. You can go to their website at townoflovevalley.com, and you can see the pictures there. But it does look like that. And, you know, the other thing I pictured when I was listening to the video, and they were talking about the saloon and all that stuff, you know, you always have that shot in the old Westerns of the guy sitting in the clawfoot tub, and then he goes, gets a shave with the straight razor at the barbershop. Can you do both those things in Love Valley?
we don't have a barbershop.
You're missing.
But that's a great idea.
Yeah, maybe that is a great idea. And you need to have the guy with the straight razor. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. You know, what's different about Love Valley to many other Old West type communities is that the people who live here actually live this lifestyle. So it's really there's nothing here for tourists. There are things here for tourists. I don't mean it like that, but we want you to come and experience the lifestyle. We don't want you to just come and look from the outside. So it's not extremely expensive to eat. It's not, you know, all the things that you find in a tourist type location. You just don't find here. We want people to come here and experience our love for horses the way, you know, we feel like maybe the facade is Old West, but we actually like to live this lifestyle. So we do have a saloon, and we have live bands there on Saturday nights, and we have a local watering hole and a general store and cafe. We've got a leathersmith who also is our minister at our church. the actual current mayor, and we just had an election, so coming soon won't be, but our current mayor is actually our town blacksmith and has been for years. So, you know, quite a few of the people that live here, their life revolves around this lifestyle. So it is a little different because you can't get an old fashioned shave, but we also have a lot of other wonderful things like lots and lots of trails that you can ride on. They're free and they're open 365 days of the year, 24 hours of the day, so you're welcome anytime you like. We have lots of really great organizations here that kind of help with lots of events that go on, which we rely heavily on. And we have an association that helps lease trails from the few landowners that require leases. And we have a mule association that puts on most all of their events revolve around the children of the community. And so it's quite interesting and very unique place.
Now, do most people that live in or around Love Valley work in or around Love Valley, or do a lot of people have to go to the big city and then come back out to their cowboy town?
it's a combination. We have a rather large population here of people who are retired. And of the people that have businesses here, quite a few, most of them have other jobs as well, myself included. You know, we do go to the bigger cities to find jobs, but Love Valley is a priority for most of us.
Well, I'm looking at what big cities are nearby and not looking good.
You have to drive a ways.
No. Well, having grown up in Raleigh, it's true. There aren't very many big cities that close by. But, you know, when we want to go to the grocery store, it's 20 minutes just to get to the grocery store. So driving to Statesville or Mooresville or Charlotte to go to work is really not that far, mm-hmm. considering we can't even get to the grocery store in less than 20 minutes. So Charlotte's about an hour's drive away. And there's a lot going on these days in Huntersville and Mooresville and Davidson and and Statesville. So there are
they can still get to a McDonald's. They can still get to a McDonald's.
Yeah. I want to say thank you for not having a place that Glenn can go sit naked in a tub and get shaved. That really disturbed me.
Hey. It's my pleasure.
Hey,
oh Lord,
tell us about
that.
One of your most famous residents there, Joe Ponder.
Yes, Joe Ponder. He was actually my godfather as well, which makes it even more special. But he had the world's strongest teeth for a very long time. And I think somebody's broken.
Yes, that's what she said, the world's strongest teeth. That is what she said.
Yep.
He have the world's strongest teeth, somebody then broke that record. What?
And he appeared on David Letterman, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he did. He was in the spotlight quite a bit. He was definitely an interesting man. He was in Ripley's, believe it or not. And like I said, Letterman and some other big talk shows.
And what did he do? Hold stuff with his teeth?
Leathersmith. He pulled stuff like tractor trailers, and he actually pulled a train car once. He would pull fire trucks and all those kinds of things, and then he lifted things as well. Every year, he would pick up the world's largest pumpkin. And he had an archer friend that he would pick up by his feet, and his friend would shoot his bow and arrow and hit different targets. And he even one time picked up Miss World, USA, and Universe. So that was pretty exciting, I think, for him.
How do you discover? This is what I'm thinking here. By the way, we're talking to Tori Barker, and we're talking about the town of Love Valley in North Carolina. But how do you discover that you have the world's strongest teeth? What do you do the first time and go, wow, my teeth are stronger than other people's teeth? I mean, how does that work?
It was actually quite a tragic reason that he ended up developing.
Jamie doesn't want to hear it.
I didn't want a follow up on this. But go ahead.
One question too many.
Don't answer that, Tori.
Okay. Basically, he worked out. That's why he got hurt really bad in an accident and started working out. He was a welterweight boxer in his young life, so he was very fit. And he got hurt really, really bad, and he knew he needed to get himself back into shape in order to live a normal life, and that's what he did. And he just overdeveloped certain muscles, like in his neck, and it gave him the ability to have the world's strongest teeth.
Oh my God!
They were all hurt too.
I don't want this to be the last thing.
I am glad we got the answer. I don't care what you say, Jamie.
Thanks. I don't want this to be the last thing we talked to you about. But I've got to know, all things looking at your town, it is so cute and adorable, and there's beautiful trails. I mean, it's in the hills in North Carolina. It doesn't get prettier than that. So you're in Love Valley. You're in this western town. You say that it's not a tourist trap, but obviously tourists would be interested in coming. Where do we go? How do we come visit? How do we check it out?
Right. So first thing is the website, www.townoflovevalley, has an overload of information. We have everything from cabins you can rent to rooms you can rent. We have a lot of really lovely campgrounds that you can stay in that offer everything from primitive camping to full amenities. So I would say first look for a place that suits you or give me a call and I will help you find the proper amenities for yourself. And then bring your horses or, you know, you don't even have to have them. We have a place you can rent them here. And start your way out on the trails and enjoy a couple of 2 or 3 days of really good riding. The locals here are very friendly and very willing to help you.
I got to know this. I want to do a show from Love Valley. I got to do the show from Love Valley one of these days. Do they have internet in Love Valley?
Absolutely. We can definitely. Now, I will tell you, about 5 or 6 years ago when I first moved here, and I said, I've been here 10 years, so this may be a little bit more like 9 years ago. We didn't have an ATM, which now we do have. No one in town took anything but cash, but now they do take, most places take MasterCard or credit cards. and the internet didn't exist. No one had it. But now there are quite a few places right downtown that have Wi-Fi.
All right,
and
when I come up, this is the deal.
Now, I will tell you, though, they still don't have very good cell phone signal, so don't expect to be contacting a lot of people from the outside.
We live in Ocala, Florida, and have crappy cell phone signal, so I get that. But you know, when I come up, I won't put Jamie through the torture of visualizing me in the tub. But when I come up, we're going to find a barber, and we'll do the show live, and I'll get one of those straight shaves with the straight razors. We'll do that during the show, because that just seems appropriate.
Listen, I know just the person, and I will have him come. I'll have him come to town just for you.
Okay, good.
Glenn, they film zombie movies in this place. I wouldn't have anybody with a razor near my neck in that Love Valley. But I am mad that I used to live in Atlanta, and I had horses in Atlanta, and I never knew about it. Otherwise, it's 4.5 hours to Atlanta. I would have driven up there and ridden for days. That would have been my vacation. So. Bummed I didn't know about it, but now you're letting people know. And Love Valley, North Carolina, and congratulations. I think it's awesome. What a cool town.
Well, I hope you make it up here, even though I know it's a little further from Ocala, but I'm sure you can do it.
We can do it. Glenn,
well, thank you very
gone.
Much. townoflovevalley.com. We'll make it happen.
All right.
Thank
take you
care.
Guys so much for
Thanks.
Your time this morning. All right.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. I never knew Love Valley exists.
I've never heard of it. I don't know how you found out about it.
That was Jennifer. She saw an article someplace, and she comes up with all of these guests that we've never heard of. But it does look cute. It looks like if you're into the Western way of life, that's the place to go. I love the shots with all the horses all lined up. And then I got to wondering, you know, how many of our horses could stand tied to a rail like that for 2 hours while you're in getting drunk in the pub?
Yeah, I'd be the one guy that was like, excuse me, my horse, where'd he go?
Yeah, exactly. My horse is gone.
He's gone.
He also went to get a drink and not in the pub.
How funny.
Oh, man, that's cool. Good find there, Jennifer. Good find.
I've just never heard of that. I mean, ever. And I've competed in North Carolina and South Carolina. I just never knew.
The hills there where that is. That's a beautiful part of North Carolina, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's west of Winston-Salem. Between Winston-Salem and like Asheville. So, you're right at the edge of the Sirius Mountains, and it's just, it's a neat spot. Well, I got to tell you, Equestrian Collections right now still has the offer for our listeners. If you use the code GETGIFTED, GETGIFTED, all one word, at checkout, you'll get free shipping over $79. And if you go to their website, you're going to see that everybody else gets free shipping over $129. But listeners to the Horse Radio Network can get free shipping over $79, which is really handy this time of year, because a lot of times you're not spending $129. On gifts, you're buying some smaller things or just one thing, and you don't want to pay $20 in shipping. So that is one of the benefits of being a listener to our shows, is using the gift code GETGIFTED at checkout for the free shipping. They have all kinds of things right now. If they have a selection of catalogs that's set up just for the holidays. You can find it right, a link on their homepage, and it's you just flip through the catalog pages, pick the product you want, and it'll bring you to the order page. You buy it. It's simple. It's easy. They have catalogs set up for all different things. If you have to buy for your husband or a horsey boyfriend, if you have to buy for a grandmother, if you have to buy for a coach, a student, you can find suggestions for all of those things to their gifty catalogs right now in their gift guide. It's the Holiday Gift Guide 2015. You still have time. We have, what did I say at the beginning of the show? We have 11 days to get shopping, so you want to get your orders in the next couple of days to make sure you have them in time for the holidays. But head on over. They have a million different products, the whole universe of holiday shopping there at EquestrianCollections.com. Well, I thought seeing that it was the National Day of the Horse yesterday, that probably the best idea for a song today would be Girls and Horses, because
if
it's, it's the National Day of the Horse. What else am I going to play, right? So
you'll find some weird Christmas song, the donkey song. National Day of the Donkey was not yesterday.
Do you notice I haven't tortured you once today? I have been so good to you today.
Not today. Although I did get a visualization of you in a tub naked, getting your head shaved. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need
a
drink.
Yeah.
Okay, play the song. Love you.
Yeah, I know.
Well, she talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl some days. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? About him, and I dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those gentle eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Girls and horses.
Ah, such a nice, lovely, peaceful song. Girls and Horses. You're listening to Horse Radio Network, Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And that was in honor of National Day of the Horse. And Glenn, I don't know what you're doing, but don't do it. You're awful quiet.
Oh, I'm just sitting here listening to you. I'm not up to anything over here.
All right. You're listening to
you know, the reason I didn't do any traumatic things to you today is after the announcement this morning, I thought you were going to have a meltdown and lose it. So I was like, okay, I need to be nice to her on the show today after American Pharoah, you know, after he's beaten out by Serena Williams sitting in her lingerie on the throne. I thought that maybe that was a little too much and that if I did anything, it would set you over the edge. So that's the reason I've been very good today.
You have been very good. I'm a little salty after that. You're right. It kind of changed. I mean, I think getting out in the rain in the dark and bringing horses in kicked it off. But anyway, Omega Alpha Equine is our sponsor today, and we do appreciate that. I'm now on my best behavior.
Good. Do you want to play Leslie's opener or just bring her in and you could commiserate together about the loss of American Pharoah beaten out by Serena Williams in her lingerie?
Thanks for just resurfacing that whole thing. Hi, Leslie.
Oh, Glenn, are you trying to make Jamie cry?
She was crying earlier, I got to tell you.
Have you seen, I mean, obviously they had picked her a long time ago, voting didn't matter, even though only three people voted for her. Have you seen the cover yet?
No.
Okay. Are you in front of a computer?
Yes.
Go to si.com.
You're going to have an article about this. This is a whole story for you today. By the way, Leslie's with Horse Nation. This is the Wacky World of Horses.
Oh, man. What? How is... I don't know.
I said, and nobody brought this up but me, a guy. I said I thought that was degrading. She's one of the top tennis players in the world. Why don't they have a picture of her winning, like, the Wimbledon or U.S. Open? But no, they have a picture of her lingerie on a throne?
I think that if the Kansas City Royals had won, they would not be in their underwear sitting in front of some...
How pissed is that team right now?
The entire city is mad. I mean, nobody voted for her. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but we got to tell
Leslie the other part of it. If you missed the beginning of the show, this is the other thing to put in her, in the story. Go to Daily Mail. And there's an article on there about her charity race, 5K race over the weekend. I think it was in Palm Beach. And she, in her own charity race, for her own charity, ran 2 miles, got in a taxi, took a taxi to the end, and then finished it.
What?
So add that to your article.
Wow.
Right after being a voted sportsman of the year. There you go.
Well, that's what's so irritating is, like, I think it's wonderful that a woman beat out all of these guys for sports person of the year. And that's so amazing.
But then they have to go and sexualize it.
Yeah. And that's the hoochie mama picture you put of yourself. Like, oh, you're supposed to empower women and not make us feel trashy. I'm just so mad. I have a very strongly worded letter to SI coming up.
Mm-hmm. And you know what about
we'll go with the other strongly lettered. Oh, while we're talking to Leslie, Jennifer, head over to Sports Illustrated's Facebook page and see what they're saying over there. Give us a report.
Yeah. You know, horses are... I mean, they're, like, pretty naked most of the time, except when they're wearing blankets or, like...
Right? He would have just fit right in.
I mean, that's hot. That's right. No, maybe not. But you can't put them in high heels or sit them on a throne.
No.
No. Nope.
It's hard. It's harder anyway.
It's harder. It's harder.
You can try.
Be done.
Okay. There's a comment underneath all of these. This is terrible. This is terrible, but I laughed out loud because I'm so upset. Serena Williams named the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. Somebody wrote underneath it, say all you want, but that dude is one hell of a tennis player. tell me what's going on horsenation.com.
Nothing this exciting.
Sorry, what was that? I think that was on, I had opened the Daily Mail page and I was like, what?
This is something that my students and I and barnmates all question all the time. And one of my arguments that the girl who ended up being my maid of honor, she and I always had a huge argument about this, to trim or not to trim the whiskers. That is the question.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly have, I know that this is something that people, you know, I've gone both ways on it. And it's something that, like, I feel like this is a big, not a big area, of important area of debate in the horse world, but it is interesting, you know, how different, like in Europe, it's not as common to, you know, they kind of tend to, like, leave their whiskers, trim up their faces, but, like, leave their whiskers, at least. Show barn protocol is to, like, just kind of trim it all off, even down to, you know, your their eye, their little eye whiskers, whiskers, eyebrows, whatever they are.
Yeah, their little eyelashes.
Yeah, their little eyelashes. But they do have real eyelashes too, right? So
yeah,
I wonder what you call those.
They're little eye feelers. Okay, so feelers. Basically, do you shave whiskers? Do you shave the eye whiskers? Right. Do you trim the hair in the ears? You know, and everybody has a different opinion. My thought is I've never trimmed the horse's eye feelers. Like that just seems like it's something to protect. My best friend, she always was like, I don't trim whiskers. And I was like, you know what?
That's
you
show kind of your a horse- Kardashian thing, it seems like, isn't it? Trimming eye whiskers. Yeah.
It's not a Kardashian thing. It's very much a, and I don't mean to throw it under the bus, but I was a hunter jumper for a long time and they shaved the hair out of the ears. They shaved the whiskers. They shaved the eye hair. It's like a bald faced horse. I never was, my argument with the whiskers was it looks super tidy and you show your horse like twice a year. Like really what's it going to hurt? But the eye hair, no. But I probably would even have a hard time shaving any of it. Now, I've never trimmed the inside of the ear hair out. I'll block it. But like, I don't know. I don't even think it looks that good to like have shaved ears.
Yeah. And also it's just kind of like with their muzzles, with their muzzle little nose whiskers or whatever. Like it's kind of like a vicious cycle, like shaving your legs, right? Because your hair gets like thicker. Just long flowing whiskers, they're like soft and pretty and like you can pet them and kiss their noses. But when you shave them, when you trim their whiskers and then they kind of grow back, like first they start with a 5 o'clock shadow and then it's just like some straight up like pokey whiskers. Like it's much less kissable. So you just, I mean, once you get going, you have to keep it up.
We can't get off of shaving today. It seems like it's been a topic all day.
It sure has. This is a lot less weird though. Just curious to know, like, did you, your listeners have comments?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think that the point of this, it was a pretty great post by Jody Webb, who sort of takes a holistic approach to horse keeping. And she is sort of like, her take on it was some people do it, some people don't, we should all be accepting of one another's whisker trimming practices, and I think that set a tone for like a nice respectful discourse,
some do it, some don't.
Well, being a guy with a beard, I'm pro whisker, I'm just saying. I'm coming down on the pro whisker side.
Yeah.
Especially for geldings or stallions. If you're just trimming a stallion, that's just wrong. That's just, he should have a full beard. I'm just
full
saying.
Beard.
Yeah, that's right.
And I like how you don't have to braid their forelocks either. Like, that's the thing, right? You don't have, I mean.
We have two horses that don't have forelocks. We have two horses that's not an issue.
Are you a non-forelock braider, Leslie?
Well, if I do, but I think that isn't it acceptable? Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it legal. Acceptable? Yeah, legal.
In eventing,
and people, and it tends to be something that people with stallions do, like they leave their forelocks unbraided, right? Which I think is like, I mean, especially if they have like big, you know, long. Sexy forelocks. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. You got to let them fly. But no, my training level event horse, Jet, he has like, I don't know, four forelock hairs. And so it would just be ridiculous if I tried to braid whatever he had just sitting there. So I never braided his. And I was often asked, well, why didn't you braid that? I'm like, look, what is it going to be? Like four swoops, you know, like ridiculous. Yeah. So that's when I did learn that it's not, you don't have to braid the forelock in event.
Yeah.
I tell you, the article I liked, guys, was the Starting Equestrian Drama on Facebook, a how-to guide.
Oh,
because this one, oh my God, this one just applies we've had this conversation on the show many times, and with you, Leslie, I think too. Mm-hmm. But Kristen wrote this one, and can we go down through a couple of them? Because mm-hmm. Jamie's going to love the first one. So now remember, this is a how-to guide on how to start equestrian drama on Facebook, okay?
Okay.
Keep that in mind. This is how to do it. And the first one is a photo of your kid on your horse without a helmet. Tell us about it, Jamie.
Oh, no.
Hold on. I'm trying to find this thing here. Sorry, Lucas just walked in. I missed some of it. Photo of your kid without a horse without a helmet. I don't think that I've ever posted anything. Leslie, I posted a picture of me with Lucas, and I'm holding him. Holding him. He's probably like 8 months old. And mm-hmm. I'm holding him on the back of the horse. It was,
yeah.
I don't know. Go look over there, buddy. I'll help you. The hundreds of comments, like everybody's like, oh my God, he's so cute. And the next person's like, where's his helmet? I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'm holding him. I'm holding him. Mm-hmm. And they don't make helmets for 7-month-old babies. They don't have an infant helmet section.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's funny. It's like, it's like you might as well be standing there like holding up a Confederate flag or something, like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
people fly all over each other politically on, with a, on social media.
Yeah, with a 45 caliber in your hand.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
It's like, yeah.
Hey, I have baby news, though, for you. Zara Phillips' baby daughter is riding at the age of 8 months, has been on a horse, probably without a helmet. And also, Prince George at 2.5 years took his first pony ride on a Shetland pony. So you're all in good company there, Jamie.
I need pictures. Yeah. I need to know if they were wearing helmets.
I didn't see pictures, but I did put links to the articles. You might want to check that out. Yeah. The second one on here is asking which is better, barefoot or shod. Yeah, that brings that. You know, that never used to be an issue that people got, you know, adamant about. But that's sort of like, now it's almost got rose to the level of the GMO or non-GMO thing, you know, mm-hmm. barefoot or shod. And it's, and I don't quite get it. You know, we're barefoot. Yeah. I don't care if you have shoes on your horses, right?
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who cares?
Nobody cares. Do what you want.
Oh, this is another good one. Listing a used saddle for sale that costs more than the retail value. And we've all seen that.
Oh, God.
And you go, what the hell?
Like, what are you? Who are you?
Your saddle, it's better because your ass sat on it?
Yeah.
I love it. We all know that a Wintec trail saddle does not cost $750.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is another one. Mary Kitzmiller gets this all the time. She hosts here once a month. And, you know, she's a pretty well-known trainer. She's done Road to the Horse before. And she's really into clicker training, which involves treats, right? But Monty Roberts, on the other side of the coin, doesn't believe in treats. So here, and that's another one. You post that you trained your horse using only treats. That will bring out the anti-treat people.
Mm-hmm.
They get adamant about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think all of us, right, we all use treats sometimes. I mean, if we're honest, we're feeding a treat at some point. Maybe not in training, but like with my pony, he can't do it in training. He just loses his cookies, and that's all he can think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. Yeah. I was talking to a Monty Roberts certified trainer, and I was trying to load Edward, and I had a peppermint, and I was doing the wrapper, and I was like, "I'm sorry, I like to give my horses treats," and she goes, "Me too. Don't tell anybody." So I didn't tell anybody. I'm just telling you guys. Okay. Yeah. But I think it's a girl thing too. Like girls, I was just talking to one of my boarders last night. We just like to give our horses treats because it makes them like
that
us.
All comes back to, especially if you had a mother like mine who loved to cook and feed everybody in the world, including half of my neighborhood used to come over to eat every night. You know, that's where that comes from, right? I mean, it comes mm-hmm. from families wanting to feed each other. That's what we do. It's mm-hmm. it's a thing. So you want to do it with your pets too. And we all have fat dogs and cats. So the next one, asking which is better, English or Western. I actually think that this one is decreasing, and I'll tell you why. A couple weeks ago, we went out to Lynn Palm's place, and Jennifer did her first Western dressage with her horse. And there were so many English riders there in English garb that it's really kind of becoming a crossover now. And I think those crossover things, the trail classes and the obstacles and stuff, are really combining the English and Western world. And I couldn't be more thrilled about that. Maybe you guys feel differently, but I think it's kind of becoming a thing now where a lot of us own both saddles.
I have a farm that's right on the main road, and my arena where I teach lessons is on the main road. And sometimes people stop and, you know, they ask questions about boarding or lessons or whatever. And I'm always very happy to stop and talk to people. And this cowboy gets out. He's like, my granddaughter, I'd like to get her some lessons. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And he goes, now, I see that you ride English here. And he goes, I see you riding the different saddles. And I was like, oh, well, we ride English and not Western. And he goes, so sell me on this whole English thing. I was like, what? Yeah, sell him on the English. Like, Western is better. So, like, sell him on the English. Like, why should she ride English? I was like, okay. Oh.
You have 3 hours?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, I love this. This is a great article. Too, if you want to remember, these are Starting Equestrian Drama on Facebook, How to Guide the B Word. Blankets. Oh, dear God. Another yeah. B, bits, blankets, bridles, farrier shoes, barefoot. Oh, God, B-word, barefoot. My God.
Nothing that starts with the word B.
Yeah, just nothing.
Steer clear.
Or B for sure. That's really good. Well, these are all really, really good. There's some Christmas crafts. You've got some science articles. And I must tell you that I officially 100% agree with one of your lists.
The horse books.
I love Lists Friday. There is no book better on the entire planet, Glenn. Guess what? One number one.
Yeah, I don't know how that damn book got to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, apparently lots of people agree with you, Jamie, because this is was voted on by that's like, I guess they have like a, you know, rank readers on using Goodreads rank books, and so Black Beauty came out on top.
Black Beauty, number one. Anna Sewell's Black Beauty. It's almost like I read, like, Glenn had never heard this book. I don't know if you were
I
on the show back then.
I don't want to hear this book.
Glenn had never read this book, and his wife Jennifer never had either, because she's just a salty horse trainer too. And they had no compassion for the plight of carriage horses in the 1800s. They just didn't care. So I read Black Beauty to them on the air. I read a chapter every day.
You read a page a day, and it killed me. I went to the bathroom. I'd go get my breakfast.
Right? See, it was so good. So that came in as number one. I couldn't agree with you more that The Black Stallion by Walter Farley is number two.
I wonder if that's still on rights. Did we ever check that?
Black Stallion. Look it up, Jennifer. See if we can read it. It was published
very,
in 1941.
Very aggressively protected.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Walter Farley made sure
of that. They have an entire website dedicated to just that.
Oh.
But at some point, it comes out. Like it comes.
I think it's
in
like 100 years, though. It's a long time.
It is perpetually copyrighted, providing the people who own the copyrights
keep renewing it. Yeah.
It. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, fine, Walter Farley and your people. Number three, I think The King of the Wind, the story of Sham the Godolphin Arabian by Marguerite Henry. Oh my God, that was one of my favorite books of all time. Misty of Chincoteague was the next one. Seabiscuit by Laura Hillenbrand. If you didn't read that book and you just saw the movie, go get the book, because
it's so good.
The history that they would. She was able to dig up. I mean, she's such an amazing writer. It was an incredible movie, but man, it's even better, the book. Seabiscuit number six, My Friend Flicka. Oh my God. I'm still, my chest still gets tight in certain parts.
Yeah. Oh man.
And then did you ever see the movie My Friend Flicka with Tim McGraw? They did kind of a female version. I mean, there's no, My Friend Flicka, when you read it as a kid, don't read it as a small child, like, because it's not a tiny kid. But they did a movie, and Flicka gets really, really sick, and Tim McGraw is the dad, and he doesn't like the horse, and the little girl gets really, really sick too, because, like, you know, they're connected, and she walks down the stairs, and she's pale and ghost-like, and Tim McGraw's got a gun, and he's going to go out and shoot Flicka, and the little girl walks down in the moonlight and says, Daddy, it's okay if you kill Flicka. And I still am haunted to this day by that. Daddy, it's okay if you kill Flicka. And like he puts the gun down. I was like, just totally heart-wrenching and terrifying. Anyway, that's the movie. Horse Whisperer, Nicholas Evans. That was Seven, A Horse and His Boy, C.S. Lewis. Oh my gosh. It introduced me to talking horses because the Narnia horses can talk. Mm-hmm. And then number 9, War Horse. And then number 10, Stormy, Misty's Foal. Marguerite Henry was just the most amazing.
Mm-hmm. I've read two of these.
Oh my God. Which one of them?
Seabiscuit. Seabiscuit and War Horse.
I want to know if the Chronicles of Narnia are public domain.
Jennifer, have you checked on all of these? She was really looking hard for another book for you to read because the audience seemed to enjoy it, even if I didn't.
Yes.
You've checked on, you can't.
The short answer is yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
For hours.
An hour. She spent a long time checking on this. And some of it's hard to find if they're free of rights or not. And so she was having a tough time with that. Yeah.
They are all very carefully protected.
Yeah. I'm going to check on these two because I think she's lying because she didn't like it either. She didn't like the second.
Well, she didn't like the first one. You really liked The King of the Wind, right, Jennifer? The Sham.
Oh, I'm not a big Black Beauty fan, but a number of the other books on this list are, I'm huge fans. Absolutely.
Like
the Wind's a good one. Sham was a good one.
Write to Laura and see if we can read it on the air.
Yeah, I'm sure she won't mind.
Laura Hildebrand, she won't mind if we read it on the air. She'll be fine with that.
I know you like just wrote it and like you just had the movie Unbroken. Like you're this amazingly famous author. Do you mind if we read your book on the air just for free? That'd be great.
Hey, one other thing while you're both on here that I didn't know, and we're going to try and get her on the air. Jennifer is going to work on it. Let me see if I can find the link now. I seem to have lost my link.
When was My Friend Flicka published? I'm going to look. We're all just Googling right now.
Yes. Well, I have my story here.
Radio silence.
This is celebrity related here. Jackie Autry, who was the widow of Gene Autry, the famous singer, of course. Mm-hmm. She just bought an 88-acre ranch, a former thoroughbred ranch in California, to help with the Wild for Life Foundation in its mission to preserve and protect America's horses. Of course, Gene Autry, a big horse guy. Well, apparently she is too, and she's helping to repair and restore the ranch for the benefit of this foundation. This is a group that not only does Mustangs, but they also rescue horses that are headed to slaughter. So this is going to be a place where they can go. And actually, this foundation last year rescued 200 imperiled Mustangs out of New Mexico. They set up nurseries for 17 of them who were pregnant. They've rehomed 125 that are being held in pasture land or natural habitats in 4 states. So they really have done a lot of good work in that. And Jackie Autry is instrumental in helping get that done. And Jennifer's going to see if we can get an interview with her. I didn't realize, Jamie, you knew this because I don't follow baseball much, but when I was reading a little that she's really heavily involved in baseball and was president of the American League for a while. And also owned the California, one of the California teams. Yeah. So I didn't know she was that heavily involved in baseball, but was hugely involved in baseball.
Well, I mean, horses and baseball just go hand in hand. So I
figured if we could get her on there, you're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh my gosh. She's kind of my new best friend. So that'd be awesome. That'd be great. Get her on. I just wanted to let you know that My Friend Flicka will be available soon to read on the air. All we have to do is keep the show going till 2036. In 2036, we are able to officially read My Friend Flicka on the air.
In 2036, I won't be around to tell you not to. So you'll be good
you
to go.
You better be. That's only like, 20-something, 21 years from now.
Yeah.
Just around the corner. Right down
our
the road,
radio
Leslie.
Show's gonna be like, our radio show's going to be like, I remember when I used to have this pony.
That's right. I used to drive this pony.
And I'll be like, my grandkids are riding now. Leslie's going to be like, remember when we used to have internet?
Yeah, it's going to be some weird thing that's just going to be mounted in your brain.
Yeah.
Our brains right now.
Yeah. You'll be able to hear our show without anything. It'll just come through your ears. That's, yeah.
How funny. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. As always, horsenation.com. And we will talk to you again on Monday.
Hey, are you here next week? It's our last week before the end of the year.
I am.
Oh, good, good.
She's going to go.
She's a horse girl. We have
you
no
can
money
invite whoever you want next week. Next week's kind of a party week for us. We're live Monday and Wednesday, and that's it for the
don't
year
tell
then.
Me that.
So bring anybody you want. Bring a celebrity. Bring whoever.
How dangerous this is.
Let me know who you want to show up. It's just party. We're not going to be pretty serious next week. So.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amazing. So
get a celebrity. Find whoever you want. We'll be waiting.
And I do want to see an article on people's opinion about the Hoochie Mama photo of what's her name winning the what's it's called.
That'd
I don't
Serena.
Even know.
Yes.
That's
oh, I found a really appropriate comment, and of course they're just getting completely.
Oh, are they on the Facebook page?
Facebook.
Oh yeah.
And somebody commented on their Facebook page, is Sports Illustrated the new Playboy?
Oh, yeah, because Playboy's not doing nudes anymore.
Serena Williams' achievements deserved a relevant cover. And that kind of sums up, I would say, 60% of the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to type my comment right now.
What were they thinking? Well, thank you, Leslie. Horsenation.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great one.
All right. See ya. Well, that's it for today. We're going to wrap things up. I have something special at the end of the day, and this I got a request from Flora Magali, who is our singer in Switzerland, who we play on occasion. Well, she did a new, really, really cool song. It's called Peaceful Land, and it's about in this time of all the terror and everything happening around the world. She wrote this beautiful song, which has an excellent video to go with it, which I'll share on our Facebook page. But she asked if we would play it for world unity and peace, and it's just beautiful, and as her songs always are. But what's really cool is she's Swiss, so she's not speaking, English is her second language. And so are all her backup singers, which there's a lot on this video. They're all speaking English as a second language. But boy, when they sing, you just can't tell. And I just think that's so cool. So we'll be back tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is the Certified Horsemanship Association. And then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. So
I think I'm on tomorrow a little bit. Maybe so.
With the Certified Horsemanship Association?
Oh, no. I thought.
No. This is Certified Horsemanship.
15th.
Yep. So, no, you will be on Horsemanship Radio.
Right. I thought that came out on the 15th.
It does. That comes out tomorrow, too. But I was talking about Horses in the Morning. Oh, Certified Horsemanship does that tomorrow.
I wasn't listening.
Okay. I can tell.
I just typed a comment under Sports Illustrated with Serena Williams. And you want to hear what it is? A woman wins it, and then you put her on the cover dressed like a hooker? Really? Would you have dressed the Kansas City Royals in their underwear? No. You should be ashamed of yourself, Sports Illustrated. And so should you, Serena.
Whoa. Good comment.
Ouch. That's good, right?
Well done. And right after that, we're going to play a song called Peaceful Land.
Love and peace.
Love and peace is all the world needs from you and me. So why don't we share one dream of a world where we all could live in perfect harmony. And family, find your voice, make a stand. It's never too late to turn around and give a helping hand. Let's heal the world. Yes, we can. We all want to live in a peaceful land, in a peaceful land. is for land, so why don't we give a helping hand to those who have less